Golf Smarter, number 335, published on May 25, 2012. A couple days early so I can start vacation, but you get a new show. This episode is not brought to you by Dixon Golf, but I want you to know that I'm a fan of the ball, and even more importantly, I love the idea that they are the world's leading eco-friendly golf company. You'll actually hear more about why that's important in this episode. Golf Smarter is proud to be associated with Dixon Golf and glad that we can offer the Golf Smarter community special discounts. Order them in our Golfers Mart, or you can get a box for free with the Golf Smarter logo when you join Golf Smarter for members only at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Contestant from Golf Channel's Big Break Atlantis, Aubrey McCormick.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Aubrey.
Hi, Fred. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to participate, since we are just a lowly little podcast and you are big time television now.
Yes, I am. The Big Break Atlantis on the Golf Channel.
The Big Break Atlantis on the Golf Channel. I got to see episode number one last night. Luckily, it's on demand. And I was so excited to say, oh my God, I get to talk to her. And now I have somebody to root for the entire season. So you gotta go deep into the season here.
I can't tell you how I did, but I tried my best, so I'm hoping you're going to be excited with the show.
So tell me the process. How, once we get to the show, we'll get there in a minute, but how is it that you, I guess, is it an audition to get on this show, or what sort of competition did you have to go through to get onto the show?
Okay, so the first step to getting on the show is you submit an application online through thegolfchannel.com, and then once you've submitted, you wait to hear back, and if you're chosen as a potential candidate, you will go for an in-person interview. So once I heard back, then I chose to go down to Orlando, Florida, and do an in-person interview. And in the in-person interview, they have you hit a couple different types of shots, and then they do about a 30-minute interview face-to-face with one of the producers. And then after that, whether you're chosen as a semifinalist or not, then you'll move on to the next round where they'll decide if you're chosen as a finalist. So the whole experience is based on, I would say, a lot of luck mixed with your story, your background, and your ability on the golf course.
And because it's the women's version of the Big Break, how much of it is, I don't want to use the word exploitive, but how much do you think of it, their decision is based on, oh, she looks, the camera loves this woman, and she's going to look great in a bathing suit at Atlantis?
Right. Well, not all of us were in bathing suits. But I would say that the show is based for the audience, you know, and if you have a lot of people in the golf industry or the sports industry and just in general, you know, I think that they're playing up to the assets that each player has. So, you know, if you've got somebody who's a little funnier, they're going to catch that person on camera making jokes. If you've got someone that, you know, is a little bit
intense.
Yeah. Let's say if you have someone a little bit more intense, uh-huh, then they're going to put that person in, you know, characterize them. It's sort of like, I guess you could say there are characters to the show, and the producer's job is to enhance those characteristics,
right,
so that the viewers sort of get the shock value out of the show.
Right. Well, I mean, so you can't discount the fact it's television. I mean, and that's the point. It is television. It's entertainment. It's not, for you, it's a competition. For us, it's eye candy and television, right? So they're going to have to figure out ways to keep us entertained.
Exactly. And it's also a really great platform for us professional golfers to showcase our talents, our story, and what we're, you know, trying to do to make our mark on golf. So it's for the viewers, it's definitely entertainment, but there's no discrediting the fact that we put our hearts into the show and gave up all of our, what's the word? I mean, we pretty much signed our images and signed our livelihood over to the producers. So
they own you now. I mean, you didn't sell your soul, but they own the rights to your image. And as you progress, not only in the show, but as you progress as a professional golfer, they kind of have the rights to that first.
Yeah, that's correct. Hmm. You know, part of doing the show, you have to understand that you're going into television, and with television, you're going to sign contracts, and you're going to be legally tied to a network for. And it's not a crazy amount of time, but, you know, of course. And it goes both ways to the player, because I think it's a blessing to be tied to the Golf Channel. Because Yeah, exactly. If you're trying to make it as a professional athlete, what better network to be tied to than the Golf Channel and ABC Network?
Not the Golf Smarter podcast?
And the Golf Smarter podcast.
See, and you've already got a leg up on every one of them. Wow.
I love it.
Thank you. So, you know, it's interesting. There's been times where, you know, everybody gets stuck or hooked on watching some sort of reality television show because they're everywhere now. And I've had conversations with my younger son once, because the only thing he would want to do is, oh, God, not Survivor. What's the one where they make you eat live scorpions and stuff? I don't even know the name.
Fear Factor.
He said that would be the only one that he would ever do, because it's so disgusting. It's so random. I mean, this is the kid who he wrestled for 4 years in high school because it was the hardest sport they offered. So, I mean, he's the kind of kid who goes after those kind of challenges. But when we talk about other reality shows, oh, you would be great on The Bachelor, or you'd be, you know, one of those things. He's like, I would never submit myself to that kind of stuff. I would never let them just, you know, take me like that and do what they want. So I guess my question, but I think you almost answered it already, but I'm going to ask anyway, why would you do this?
I did the Big Break because I am looking to use my golf game as a vehicle for other initiatives that I'm very passionate about. And also because I would like to get back into the game of golf competitively. So I decided to do the show because I see it more as laying a foundation to something a lot more worthwhile than just being a pretty face and, you know, being the tall, skinny, pretty girl and showing that there's more substance to me, whether it's the environment or whether it's mentoring foster children or whether it's the, you know, just working towards more substantial goals. And I think the show definitely gave me the opportunity to show that, you know, I'm not just on here to flip my hair and smile for the camera. I'm on here because I have an underlying mission that will help a lot of people.
Well, yeah, but you definitely get to flip your hair and smile for the camera.
And I certainly did.
You don't mind this. I mean, I'm sure that you've had pictures taken of you forever. I mean, the beautiful, yeah, all beautiful women, and you are the really tall one. When you put a group shot together, aren't you?
Yeah, everyone has pointed that out, and I think it's hilarious. Like, I know, I've been living with it my whole life. I'm very tall.
Yeah, I mean, it's like people making fun of your last name. What are you going to do about that? Or even your first name? You can change your last name, but your first, it's like, well, I didn't choose my name. Somebody handed it to me, right? You can't help the fact that you're tall.
Exactly.
How tall are you?
I'm 6 foot.
Oh, are you really? You're really tall.
Yeah, I'm pretty tall.
So then let's get to your passion on this, and you have underlying themes that you're talking about of what it is that you're trying to, you have your own agenda on this to help get that message out.
Right. Since I got on this show, I auditioned for The Big Break two other times in my golf career.
Really?
So twice over the past 5 years. And I never got a call back to be even a semifinalist. And I think the reason for that was because I was doing it for myself, and I didn't, you know, I think my heart wasn't in the right place. Mm-hmm. It was a little too self-serving back then. And I took this past year to work in Green America, which is an environmental nonprofit, and surround myself with information that, you know, I didn't know was there before. So mm-hmm. the people were different. The industry was different. The city was different. It was just a completely 180 shift from what I was used to in the golf world. Because a lot of times when you're an athlete, you're focusing all on yourself. And yes, you can go volunteer time, but let's be honest, most of it is spent on the practice range and lessons with your sports psychologist, and it's very self-motivated.
Yeah.
I
understand that. Yeah, I was lucky enough one time, wow, you probably don't even know. There was a baseball player who played in Chicago, a Hall of Famer named Ernie Banks. You ever hear of him?
No, I haven't.
You probably haven't. You're too young. And anyway, I interviewed him once, and I asked him what he was, you know, retired at this point. He was in his 60s. And I said, well, what are you doing now? He says, well, I played baseball during the 60s in Chicago when there was all this political upheaval going on and there were riots in the streets. He said, and I had no idea any of that was going on because I was playing baseball. And so now I'm studying history, and I'm finding it absolutely fascinating. So you're right. When you're an athlete focused on moving up to the next level, you kind of have to have blinders on to what else is going on, right?
Yeah, that is true. What's interesting, though, is I believe that it's all about balance. So yeah. You can have your blinders on, but still maintain that passion inside you for the causes that you hold close to your heart. Mm-hmm. So for some people, it may be saving animals. For the next person, it may be, you know, human rights or, you know, whatever it may be. It's about balance, and it's about having your blinders on, but having a mission behind what you're doing, because in essence, you'll end up at the end of your life saying, wow, I wish I could have done this. I wish I could have helped more people, you know, mm-hmm. and that's something that I don't ever want to say. So by working with Green America, by using The Big Break as sort of a launching pad to get this message across about golf and how we need to make the environment more sustainable in the golf industry. And in essence, it's using people to help themselves. So I think, you know, there's a way to, it's sort of a balancing act, and there's a way to do it.
Yeah. Well, good for you. I think that's fabulous, and I think you've picked an honorable message. I'm totally behind it as well. Listen, I know I live in Northern California. How can you avoid it here? You look out the window, you see it's beautiful and say, we got to keep it this way. I mean, what's the deal? You know, nothing against the people in Texas, but when you look out in the window, you see air because everything's flat. But hey, I love Texas. Okay. I'm not going to go there. Orlando, just as flat as Texas, right? Orlando's flat.
Right.
You auditioned two times before. You got on this time, mm-hmm. you said. And when you yes. came back this time, they went, oh, she's back. Oh, now what? I mean, how was it that you were able to stand out? Was it that you feel that you not only had the passion for golf and you want to do that, but you also had a better story that moved you along Did they remember you?
Well, this is my thought.
Okay.
The producers, when I walked up for the third time, they all greeted me with open arms, and they welcomed me and said, "Hi, Aubrey, you know, great to see you again." So
wow.
It was never that sort of feeling of, oh, great, here she is again. You know, they were very, very welcoming to me.
Oh, that's nice.
Which made me feel like, okay, wow, they remember me. The reason why I believe I got on the show this time was because I was true to who I was. So I wasn't trying to make anyone pick me, so to speak. I was being who I was. I was being true to my roots, true to who I was, meaning answering questions with an honest answer instead of what I thought they wanted to hear. And I believe that's very important. Because, you know, I could have gone in and been like, yeah, I want to be everybody on this show, and I'm a tough guy. But the truth is I'm not, and I just wanted to get on the show because I thought I really deserved a chance.
I do, too. I think you
Thank
deserve
you.
The chance. Yay, Aubrey! is there a point... during the production of this, while, you know, you're trying to remind them that you have this agenda, is there something that they are coming to you going, oh, we want to talk more about the environment with you. We want to have, how do you incorporate that into breaking glass with a golf ball?
Well, I didn't push the environment or things that I'm working on to them. The one question I remember being asked was, so what are you up to now, Aubrey? And I said, well, I live in Washington, D.C. now, and I'm working at an environmental nonprofit called Green America. And I just had this sense that there, you know, I sort of got a little wider, and I didn't know anything, but, you know, I just felt you can sense things. And So I didn't really push that topic. You know, I went into it and said, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. And take me for what it is. And how that translates into breaking the glass or, you know, even just making it on the show is because I've always believed that you have to achieve the small steps in order to get to the major goal. Mm-hmm. So whether you're breaking the glass or whether you're taking the step to recycle one thing out of your household or you made it the flight down for your third time interviewing. You know, it's about never giving up and always taking the opportunities ahead. So that could be translated into the glass break, in my opinion, because that's not your typical, like most people would say, oh, what's the big deal? But to a professional golfer, breaking the glass and staying on the show to achieve your dream, which is the grand prize, is that small step to reaching your major goal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they opened the door a little bit, and it sounds like you kicked the door down. You're like, aha, my opportunity here. But also the attitude that you have is a golfer's attitude, right? You just got to go for it. You got to, look for your opportunities.
Oh, certainly. You know, I look at life with, what's the point in not knocking on the door, you know? There's that saying, all the doors are closed, open a window and jump out. That's what I believe, you know?
Good for you.
And if you put a wall in front of somebody, what are you supposed to do? Turn around and walk away or figure out a way to climb over it, you know? And I think that's the way to just achieve what you want in life. Even if you fall short, you're going to be a lot further just because you tried.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. The way I went into business for myself, the reason I had the courage to go into business for myself a long time ago, boy, this is a name-dropping show, and I apologize, but I was John Madden's recording engineer for 3 years, and he used to say all the time, he used to say it to his football teams, and he used to say it to me a lot, and we had many discussions about this, is don't worry about the horse being blind, just load the wagon.
Exactly.
Right. And he said that when he would do that in football meetings, you know, before he, in his pep talk before the game, you know, he'd get them all fired up, and then he'd say, "Now, don't worry about the horse being blind. Just load the wagon." And the guys would go, "Yeah, load the," and there would be a couple guys sitting there going, "What?" You know, and the ones who didn't get it, he was like, "You're not playing today till you figure this out. If you don't get it, then never mind." But you're right. You've got to, if there's something in your way, just go around it. Just make it happen. Just do what you got to do. And you're doing that. Now I want to get back to the show. I mean, thank you for sharing your agenda. And I'm makes me even more excited to root for you. You know, knowing a little bit more about you makes me more excited to watch and root for you. So there's another viewer on the Golf Channel for you. In the production of the show, they just treat you like royalty. They bring you down to Atlantis. And how much of your own equipment, of your own gear, do you get to bring? And how much do they supply for you?
You get to bring your own gear. You get to bring your own golf clubs and your own clothing. And the only thing that they supply for us are the cool Big Break Atlantis golf bags and then some really cool logoed rain gear. Thank God we didn't really have to use it this time. It was pretty sunny there. But, yeah, they do treat us like royalty. And it was, you know, it's just such a great experience.
Yeah, because they even talk about that one of the major sponsors, the winner gets, $100,000 shopping spree at this retail outlet. But I'm sure that they provide you with more, really just some clothes to keep you dry and a bag. Yeah, because those are the visuals. Those work on the visual side, right?
Exactly, right.
And so, okay, it's good you get to bring your own equipment, so you have that confidence as you bring in your own your own clubs. I played yesterday. I usually play with Dixon golf balls. Okay, and the Dixon Earth is like my favorite ball, and I've given up the Titleist balls. But Titleist sent me four balls last week, saying, "Please test these out and let us know what you think." I signed up online. It's not because of the podcast, and so I went out and I played with these balls, and it's interesting. I'm so used to playing with the Dixon Earth balls that I felt like I was using rented clubs. I mean, I didn't know, am I going to hit this ball the same distance as I normally do? You know, if I pull out my 8-iron, which I usually hit about 135 yards, am I going to hit this 135 yards, or is it going to go, because it's a Titleist, is it going to go 150? I had no idea. So do they supply you with balls too? Do they have a sponsor for that, or do you get to bring your own?
Well, yeah. They do give us balls if we request them,
okay.
But I did bring my own, and I did play the Dixon Earth golf ball on the show.
Really? Well, yes. See how much we have in common? Isn't it? So you choose Dixon Earth balls because of their consistency with your message of sustainability?
Correct. And, you know, I cannot speak on the performance advantages between Dixon and any other brand, but I do commend them for their recycling program that they have with their golf ball. And I believe that's a stronger mission than I've seen, you know, with a lot of equipment companies. And to me, it's not what ball you're playing. You know, you could play the Titleist, you could play Dixon golf ball, you could play Srixon, whatever your preference, but it's that balance, you know, of the recycling of the golf ball, which is the small step to the major final goal, in my opinion. And I think Dixon's doing a great job about that.
I do, too. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think it's much more than a small step because there's so many golf balls that are lost each year, and people really think that they have an impact on their performance. But again, it's a confidence thing. But that's why I'm such a fan, although I like the way they play, that's why I'm such a fan of the Dixon balls, because I just I love their message. I love what they're trying to do, and I just want to help support that. And I'm glad that you do that. Are they going to is there any way that you're going to be able to let the Golf Channel audience know that you are playing Dixon balls? Are they going to not bring that up at all? Do you know?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure because I don't know how they edited the show.
Right.
But I do know that up on Dixon Golf's website, they have me as one of their professional athletes.
Okay.
And that's about it at the moment. We'll see in the future if we're going to add them and include them in my sponsor portfolio. But for right now, that's the only place I've seen that Dixon's being promoted.
Okay. Okay. Now I know that you cannot reveal any details of what's going on in the show other than episode one has been aired at this point as we're talking. Are you guys done shooting? Have you finished is the season over as far as production?
Yes, the season is over and we are finished shooting.
Okay.
And now it's pretty much a surprise to all of us who are on the show what each episode's going to include and
right.
About.
So that's what. Oh, good. Now I'm glad we're going there because as somebody who produces video content, I'm so fascinated about the production because first of all, it's very clear that there's a tremendous amount of anxiety and tension from you guys as players. But it's also a TV show. I mean, you have the anxiety of, I know if I miss this shot, that's it. I could be going home. It all rests on this single shot. They made that point very clear in this first episode. But also, I started trying to read between the lines, and even on the breaking of the glass, you have to, every time they finish with two people, they've got to reset the whole thing up. They've got to clean up the broken glass. They've got to get a new set going. Is there a lot of sitting around and waiting for something to happen?
Yeah, there is. Like they said, and I think there's a behind-the-scenes break the glass action on golfchannel.com. But like they said, it takes them about 35 to 45 minutes to put up a new plate of glass. Which means, yes, we are sitting around and waiting in between shots. And it's sort of that hurry up and wait mentality. Mm-hmm. So it's not like your typical round of golf, and it tests your nerves more than, I think, any other situation on the golf course.
Yeah. So and while they're setting up, are you guys just sitting around chatting, getting to know each other, or do you get to go out on the course and just keep playing?
Oh, no, we have to sit around and wait and chat. And yeah, we're not practicing. We're not warming up, nothing like that.
And is there a large effort put behind how to doll you guys up? I mean, the makeup, the hair, the photo shoots, the outfits. It seemed that they do that as well, right? They've got to do that.
Yeah, they've got a hair and makeup team. I think it's pretty close to any other television show, but you've got a hair and makeup team, and you're usually, when we're out on the golf course, we don't do our hair and makeup. That's where a lot of us are ready to compete. So, in interviews and in the photos you see online, we've had our hair and makeup done.
Okay. So the first thing they had you do in this first show, and if you can remember these things, I don't know how long ago this was shot, but they had you're walking along the beach all by yourself as if it's la-di-da, right? There's nothing going on except you're enjoying being out at the ocean, except there's a camera crew following you. Oh, yeah, by the way, there's a guy with a camera in your face. And you come across a sign, and it says something, and you're like, what does that mean? And then all of a sudden, you're standing there barefoot, in your beach outfit, and you're putting a 1, 3, or 5 foot, I guess it's a 1 yard, 3 yards, or 5 yard putt. And do you, when they send you out for a walk, what are they telling you? Just go read the signs. Go take a walk. We'll see you later. Or, all right, here's what's going to happen next. Is this a producer sits down and says, here's what you're going to have to do?
No, pretty much we're just led to walk on the beach, read the signs, and then go up and make a putt. We have to choose what putt we want to hit. I mean, what you see on TV in that situation is pretty much what we had to do.
and you had no idea what the other girls were doing. You didn't get to talk to them ahead of time, so they, you know, nobody, it's like, okay, you're going to be walking down the beach, and then there's going to be this sign. You don't talk to each girl.
No, the producers let us know the situation, and then we go one at a time.
Is that why they kept saying, so when there was the part where you had to do the pitch shot, and you had to land it on the green, and you had different points depending how close to the pin you got. They kept saying, and the other girls don't know what the points are. Because
exactly.
So they keep you hidden before they send you out. Are they telling you, okay, you're going to go just hit a pitch shot now? Or they keep you hidden from everybody else, and then after you make your shot, then you get to go and sit with the other girls?
Yeah, it's pretty much what you see on TV.
Yeah, but it didn't make sense to me. I couldn't understand. It's like, wait, they're all sitting there. How can they not know what the score is? They're all sitting there together.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Well, I don't know how many episodes they do. I honestly have never watched a full season of The Big Break. I'm sorry to admit, but I will now. I absolutely will.
Yay.
Now.
Yes, we got a viewer.
Oh, listen, and I'm going to be bugging you. I'm going to keep wanting to come back because I'm going to always have more questions about this. But as you progress farther and farther, and again, I hope you make it all the way to the finals. I would love to get your feedback on how things go with that, and keep talking about the show if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Awesome. And, of course, if you want to talk about, well, I'm not going to say about Dixon Golf, but if you want to talk about the sustainability of the golf industry, I'm really interested in talking about that and see what other manufacturers are doing, what golf courses are doing, things that you know about that you find interesting that we can incorporate in golf. I'd love to talk more about that.
Okay, yeah, I would love that, too.
Oh, well, Aubrey McCormick on Big Break Atlantis, thank you so much for spending time with us, and best of luck to you, not just only the Big Break, but everything that you attack.
Thank you so much. It was great chatting with you.
Since I don't usually cover content that can be dated by the time you hear it, I know I was taking a big chance by having Aubrey on. But luckily, she also succeeded in getting past the second week. Of course, you can keep up with Aubrey's adventure online at golfchannel.com. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, want to join Golf Smarter for members only, make comments on our Facebook page, or watch our selection of Golf Smarter TV videos, you can do it all at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.